I am actually a little bit overwhelmed by the Spirit of God right now. And when that happens, prophets tend to get even stranger. So just give me a little bit of grace in that if you'd invited a teacher, you'd be writing diligent notes. If you'd invited a pastor or a shepherd, you would feel very nurtured. If you'd invited an evangelist, you'd be giving your life to Jesus again. If you'd invited an apostle, you would be feeling very strategized and sent. You didn't invite any of those. You just invited a prophet, and they're just weird. So just grace, grace, okay? I don't always love it, but I'm just obedient to it. And the Spirit of the Lord says, he says, oh, church, you have been faithful with a little. And the Spirit of the Lord says, you stewarded my presence with grace. And the Lord says, you worked diligently to host what I gave of myself to you. But the Spirit of the Lord says, today I am coming with fresh fire, fresh fire, fresh fire, fresh fire, fresh fire, says the Lord. I'm going to set a blaze back in the midst of this place, says the Lord, that will make you unrecognizable. You will burn so ferociously that everything round about you will know the touch of my glory, says the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord said, it's not just a fresh fire. He says, it's new wine. New wine, I'm pouring it out, and there's a new wind of my Spirit that is coming to you, so that everything that went before will seem like shallow waters in comparison to what I am doing. And the Spirit, I'm going to have to lay hands on the wall, just grace. And the Spirit of the Lord says, there was such a curse that stood against you, and I can feel it. And the Spirit of the Lord says, a curse came against this house, and there was a sense of a word that was released that says you needed to be constrained, and you needed to be contained, and you needed to be constricted. And as I put my hands on your wall, I say in the name of Jesus that that season and that cycle has now come to an end, and that which was raised against you to release a spirit of death around not just the organization but the leaders and the church members, where you have labored hard but you have not found the fruitfulness individually and corporately that you thought that the labor and the prayers was going to have. The Lord says that curse that wrapped itself round about you, the Spirit of the Lord says, is gone and it is null and void. And the Spirit of the Lord says, I will deal most severely with those who stood against my anointed in this house, says the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord says, I will not stand. I will not stand and let you labor under that curse for another millisecond, says the Lord. But I will show my hand of favor by pouring out the wildness of my Spirit that you have longed for. And the Spirit of the Lord says, I am beginning with you a new era and a new epoch in Cornerstone and in this nation, says the Lord. And I am slamming the door shut on one season, and I am welcoming this house and its leaders into a new epoch of time with me, says the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord says, you will be contagious. You will be contagious. A contagiousness is coming upon you, says the Lord. And I see numbers, numbers and numbers of salvations that are almost uncontainable. And the Spirit of the Lord says, it'll be building after building after building after building after building after building. And the Spirit of the Lord says that you will even need to hire stadiums. You will even be on the streets, says the Lord, because of the level of my glory that will come like it came at Pentecost in this house. The Spirit of the Lord says, fresh fire! Show! Yay, can I, yay? Wow. And the Lord says, I am taking you into a time of fast paced change. And the Lord says, I'm going to put on you a grace to not be sluggish in decision making. And this is not just for you individually, for the house, it's for you individually. You need to be grabbing this and saying, yeah, I take that on board. And the Spirit of the Lord says to you that he's going to give you a bravery and he's going to require a courage to make brave leaping decisions. And the Lord says, now I want you to expect my suddenlies, and I'm going to give you stretching decisions that you're going to make that are for the well-being of the many. And he calls your next 18 months the days of brave decisions, of birthing, of building, of planting, and of stretching, says the Lord. Oh, you have come to the moment where it is not business as usual. And the Lord says, you're even going to have to rip up some plans that you already had, that you were already in negotiation over. For the Lord says, it is bigger than you had thought, and it is bigger leaps than you had previously planned for. For the Spirit of the Lord says, I am not just a linear step-by-step God. I am the God of extravagance. I am the God of surprise. I am the God of delight. I am the God of favor. I am the God of restoration to you. I am the God of transformation of your nation, says the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord says, I am bringing down the wrecking ball of heaven to smash through a small-mindedness and a spirit of containment that had come upon you. And the Spirit of the Lord says, I am speaking wild dreams back into you and a collective liberation. For the Lord says, you did not come to my son to be bored. You did not come to my son to be stale. You did not come to my son, says the Lord, for methodology. You came for life. You did not come to my son for the level of containment that you have found yourself in. You did not come to my son, says the Lord, for the level of conformity that is currently on your lives. The Lord said, you came to a radical and a wild gospel. And the Lord says, I am renewing that in the midst of this house. And the Spirit of the Lord says, it is a day to expect the strange, to expect the peculiar, to be comfortable with the supernatural, to not just be one who shuts it down, but to know that my spirit is an uncontainable spirit who broods and shakes and leads and drives and makes a witness on the earth for King Jesus. It's a wildness. And the Spirit of the Lord says this. He says, watch that you are not personally resistant to change. He says, watch that you are not personally resistant to my new movement. For many of you, says the Lord, will seek to be accidental Pharisees, though you will say in this moment, I will never be a Pharisee. The Lord says there is still the potential for accidental Pharisaical rolling of your eyes. And the Spirit of the Lord says, watch that you are not like Michael, David's wife, who when he got free and started to dance without hindrance before the Lord, she was the one with cynicism. She was the one with the eye roll. She was the one who thought he had done something too extravagant. Watch, says the Lord, that you are not the accidental Pharisees in the wildness of my consuming fire. David and I, we've been married, I can't remember, 26 years or something, and long time. And we have children, 21, 18, 16. And do you know what? We have decided as a husband and wife team that we will always be the wildest worshipers in any building. Because I've got a girl and two boys. I will always be, and David will always be, a sign to our teenage men of what extravagant worship looks like. And David and I are past caring what we look like in anybody else's eyes. Because if my children can't see it in their mom and dad, how else will they become that liberated? And David and I, it does not matter whether I hate the song or whether the music is diabolical. Come on, just let's get over ourselves. Or whether I feel that there's zero presence of God in the room, because we've all been in those kind of times. I'm just being honest with you. David and I have set in our hearts that we will be the ones cartwheeling along the front, even though we're nearly 50 and our bodies don't quite do it like they were teenagers. But the sense of it is, I will not let my children see a model in their parents that is not wild and extreme. And I will not let them believe that maturity is that you get toned down. I will not let them see in my life that the kingdom of God suddenly, as you age, gets more tepid or less worth pouring your entire life out for. And David and I have set our minds and set our hearts to be the craziest people in the room on all given moments. And it is that we may become a signpost to every generation and our children that say, he is worth it all. He is worth it all. He is worth it all. And something almost in that foolishness, and we're educated people, something in that foolishness has so captured the heart of God that he keeps turning up and he keeps turning up and he keeps turning up. And do you know, my 16-year-old said to me, we had John and Carol Arnott with us, who we love, and the Toronto Blessing Days, and recently in the last few months, and I'm with them often in Canada. But my 16-year-old son, this wasn't rude, he just said, "Is that all the Toronto Blessing was?" And I thought, well said, 16-year-old, that level of wildness is so normal to him that he wanted more than the previous move of God. He did not want a facelift or an update of what had gone before. My 16-year-old, Samuel Elijah is his name. You can guess why he's wild. Samuel Elijah Stark, my 16-year-old, is starting to contend for more than anything you and I have ever seen. And he sees our revival history as tame in his eyes. It's not the destination, our revival history. It's the springboard of a memorial stone. And I want to say this to you. I felt as I prayed for you that the Lord gave me Romans 12. Do not be conformed, you know it well. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this age, but be, you'll know it, transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the Spirit of the Lord said this to me. He said, can you tell them that a coffin of conformity has accidentally snuck up on them and they are more in conformity than they would like to acknowledge? And the Spirit of the Lord really put on my heart this phrase that the revolution of the kingdom of God is here, and that the revolutionary kingdom of God is now in Singapore exploding and coming to an expansive place, and it is counterculture. The kingdom of God is counterculture. The kingdom of God is subversive to the ways that nations do things. The kingdom of God is deeply challenging to our traditional ideals of church. The kingdom of God will come against your nostalgia and will blow it out of the water. And the Spirit of the Lord is saying, you need to give me your your minds, just like Romans 12 verse 3 says, you need to give me your minds. You need to put your brain on the altar as much as you put your physical frame on the altar, that I might incinerate and burn your brain so that I might create in you a revolutionary nonconformist wildness in you again. For the Lord says you are prone to overthinking, and you are prone to too much structure, and you are prone to an over-organization. When my spirit shakes and is wild and has movement in him that you currently do not think is godly. And this is not a personality thing, and this is not like a church genre type thing. This is the person of the Spirit of God. And you cannot just come to me and say, well, I prefer this sort of church and I don't like that sort of church, or, you know, well, I'm more, you know, traditional. We don't get to say that anymore. We don't get to have preferences. We just get to host the Spirit of God in all the ways he wants to turn up in our lives. And for most of us, the Spirit of God never comes into our meetings because he knows that when he comes, we will not be able to host him because we will shut our brains, our thinking, and our bodies down to his ways. And the Spirit of God is saying this to you, that the kingdom of God is deeply opposite to most of our constructed thought processes. The kingdom of God is revolutionary, and it is dangerous to all other powers. And this kingdom, as you know, has a royal King Jesus at its heart. And it does have boundaries, but it is supposed to be formed into the image of God. And therefore, what I want to urge of you this morning is, in this world that says, you do you, what a hatefully awful phrase, or you do you, or you be you. I say to my teenagers, that's absolute heretical nonsense. No, you do Christ. That's the point. And actually, I gave my life away a long time ago, as did many of you. I came and I knelt and I acknowledged my need, not just of a Savior, but of a King. And I spend any free will I might have on his will, on his choice, on how he wants to be seen, on how he wants to manifest in a generation. And I'm long enough in Christian ministry to know that that means that I don't even get to choose my physical, you know, stance in a moment, because he comes and he overwhelms me, because I have submitted to his image and his ways above all, and his indwelling spirit is revolutionary and dangerous to all other powers. And this kingdom is good news. This kingdom is good news. And it is manifested in you and through you in signs and in wonders. And the Spirit of the Lord says, as you even put your hands on your own physical frame and start to allow the Spirit of God to be explosive again, he says, you are going to heal the lepers. You are going to restore lives. You are going to see deliverance ministry that will make the national press because of the level of the kicking out of demons that you are going to be able to do. It is not just the hungry fed. It is that the demons are kicked out. Hope is restored. Sins are forgiven. You are going to become a testimony that God rules over sin, sickness, demons, death, and disaster. And this house will be known as a kingdom house of revolutionaries that is dangerous to all other powers. I feel like the Lord has sent me here to bring this sense of announcing of a new day of good news. The kingdom of God is not entered into by the controlling. It is not entered into by the passive. It is not entered into by the nonchalant. It forcefully advances. in the hearts of men. It is contested for, and only forceful people lay hold of it. And other kingdoms of this world, they are extended by possessing of arms and physically going to war. But the kingdom of Jesus Christ is armed with spiritual weapons of warfare, of power and authority in the spirit, so that you can be a liberator of hearts and minds. I want to say this, as I said in the earlier service, I am fifth generation church leader. And actually not all of them guys, some very, you know, amazing godly female leaders in my family line. And they were brethren. Anybody from brethren? I don't know what happened to me, but I have brethren blood and Irish Baptist blood. And David, he grew up even stricter than I did. He grew up free Presbyterian. Anybody was a free Presbyterian? Wave, no free Presbyterians. They believe all musical instruments are highly demonized. I'm not kidding. So he only ever sung unaccompanied psalms. Yeah, because like even a hymn might be dodgy. So it's the only time I've seen angels cry in a building is in the Free Presbyterian Church. I'm not joking. So anyway, but we come from a long line of theologians and church leaders. And my father and David and I, my dad's been living with us and since my mum passed. And we have, between the three of us, 90 years of church leadership, 90 years at one table of church leadership. We have seen it all. My dad's been kicked out of churches, starved out of church. You get the story of church leadership. We've seen it all, tasted it all, buried more dead, gone through the troubles in Northern Ireland, led churches through bombs and shootings and all that happened in my nation. And here we are, and you would want to think that we would start to say to each other, well, we've learned how to do church leadership. Well, we've understood in this rich generational line what it is to go through the motions and to construct a good church. And yes, we have that, but here is the cry that needs to come forth from us. I don't care what I learned, if it was a man-made methodology. I don't want that. I want to be one who is brave enough to say, I would rather be an amateur in the new wine than an expert in the old wine. And I am happy to put that mindset on, that I'm happy to say I have no idea what I am doing, because I would rather splash in the waters of the wild cutting edge than be buttoned down and say, well, I am an expert in something that is old and decaying. The kingdom of God is revolutionary and dangerous to all other powers. It will not tolerate your performance. It will not tolerate your pretense. It will not like your ego. It will not like your shutdownness where you are not fully alive. It will not like your territorialism, your tyranny. It will not tolerate your freedom that you define by the world's systems. It cannot stand human structures. The kingdom of God will go against the politicalization of the faith and sharing glory. Can I tell you, when I worked for Pfizer, I worked for pharmaceutical companies for years back in the day, and we sold a lot of antidepressants and SSRI therapy treatments. And I remember reading the clinical trial documents for some of the antidepressants, and this stunned me, where the clinical trial data said this: if you are clinically depressed, we recommend that you never go to church, because it's the place where you can be least authentic. That was the clinical trial documents when I was in Pharmaland. And I was stunned, but it's true. It's true that actually sometimes the wildness or the rawness or the bold truth-telling or the authenticity of relationships is actually easier out there sometimes than it is in the house of God. And I felt like I was reading secular people giving a more truthful commentary on us than we were able to do for ourselves. And I want to say to you, the kingdom of God, which is revolutionary and dangerous to all other powers, will always be at war with the fake. It will always be at war with the cosmetic. It will always be at war that keeps anything of a separation from God encountering his people. And he will always be a God who comes to church and punches in the church building where there is containment and walls of barrier to the wildness of encounter. And I want to say to you, oh, Singapore, the kingdom of God is turning up here and it is increasing the dial, and there is a more revolutionary ability and way to be his people than you have even begun to see. And if you're thinking, oh my goodness, I don't know if I can cope, well, probably that's an okay thought. But as long as you resolve it for I'm all in, even though you might go, I might look like a twit. Is that an okay word here? Is okay, you never know culturally. But you might have to say, I'm okay to look like a fool. I'm okay to shed some of my cultural predispositions. I'm okay to shed anything of my nation that is not in line with the kingdom of God. And can I tell you, I preach in nations all around the world, and I have to say this often, that your nation is not the kingdom of God. I can guarantee you that. And your cultural predisposition is not the kingdom of God. And so there is the need to say, what of me culturally that I'm so set in actually might need to be dismantled, so that my nature and my character and the way I behave might be more biblically literate? Because sometimes you have to be able to say that the powers of the world and Satan built a predisposition over you of how you would act, that God actually is saying, I'm going to revolutionarily dismantle, and it will feel like a dangerous moment, because the Spirit of the Lord is saying, I am more than just rule keeping. I am more than just looking right. I hate religious duty. I hate obligation. I am revolutionary and I am dangerous to all other powers. And the kingdom of God is titanically, overwhelmingly radical. It is uncompromising in a way that makes the strongest quake. It overturns all status quo, regardless of the tradition and the country it is proclaimed in. The kingdom of God should provoke some misunderstandings as you wrestle with it. It will bring persecution, and it will bring hatred, and it should bring disruption. If you are not a disruptive force, may I suggest you are not fully embracing the revolutionary nature of the kingdom. The kingdom of God, as you know from other nations, does not need legislated freedom of speech to survive. The kingdom of God actually doesn't do well in a state that panders to it. The kingdom of God does not like to get into bed with lawmakers. It certainly disregards our weaponized nostalgia. The kingdom of God shakes nations to their foundations. and provokes either obedience or rejection of Jesus Christ. And can I say, the kingdom of God sounds treasonous. And let me be very clear, Peter and James and John and all the heroes of the faith who were boiled in oil and burnt at the stake and crucified upside down did not go to that kind of death because they happily held hands singing Kumbaya around a campfire. They were so revolutionary that they were a provocative offense to the powers of this world. And I believe that what the Lord is doing here is that He has sent me to be a bit irritating, but He is pushing at you right now to say, I want to reset apart the kingdom revolutionaries. I want to set you on fire again. I want to sharpen your cutting edge so that you are very effective in cutting through. Because the Lord is saying to you, oh Singapore, the revolution of the kingdom is here, and the revolution of the kingdom is now, and you will have to get used to the fact that it may mean that you are barred from certain corridors and certain seats at certain tables. And it may well mean that you need to get used to being barked against and being criticized. But that soundtrack of rejection is the sound that will accompany you if you are faithful to the Lord. For the Lord is saying, I don't want you to fight for acceptability any longer. I want you to fight for encounters with me afresh. I don't want you to fight, says the Lord, for the acceptability of your organizations. I want you to fight for fresh fire and fresh encounters. He says, I don't want you to fight for a place at the table of men. He says, rather, I want you to step boldly before the throne of grace, where you're always on a sure footing with me. I want to be one, says the Lord, who can celebrate you afresh. And the Lord is saying, and He's saying that to our ministry in Glasgow, in Scotland, as much as He's saying it here, He is saying this: we must stop training people to only survive and thrive within the traditional church structures that we have made. That's a wild phrase I just said. I don't know whether I'm talking too fast, but you're looking at me like, what is she on? It's just the spirit I'm on. So this sense of like, God, can you bless my schedule? Can you bless my calendar? Can you bless my diary? Can you bless what we're doing? Can you bless this purchase? Can you bless this idea? Can you come up and show your favor and your glory in the constructs that I have made? And God says, what if I need to and want to do a completely new thing that you haven't seen before? Are you going to let me blow that all up because I have something more elevated for you? And the Lord is saying to us, you're going to have to lean in. You're going to have to ask for the veil between the natural and the spiritual to be so thin that you are so sensitized to my spirit that you can do what Jesus did when He only did what He saw the Father do, or that you can start to hear in the spirit the prayers that Jesus prays, that the Bible obviously says that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. What are you praying? Where are you standing? Where are you going? Because you know that the spirit realm is not ethereally away up there somewhere. The spirit realm is right here. And there are angels in the room, and God is in the room, and Jesus is in the room. And the sense is that in our logic and in our desire for Greek mindsets of education, we have separated ourselves from the spirit realm, thrown it way out there as something illogical. Well, it is. And so the Spirit of the Lord is putting a real challenge on you, where the Word of God says, fix your eyes on the unseen realm. For what is seen, all this stuff is temporal, but what is unseen is eternal. And the Lord says, how good are you doing at that biblical command in the New Testament to fix your eyes on the unseen realm? How good are you at moving with the Spirit of God as He moves? lose rather than having a perception of him yesterday. For the Spirit of the Lord says this to you. He says, I am calling you to be curious again, spiritually with my spirit. He says, I'm calling you to create new movements. I'm calling you to break things. Oh, Singapore, you have got to get happy with the God who breaks things. You have got to get happy with the God whose personality is Alpha and Omega, the God who equally begins and equally ends, that the ending of some things is as much in his nature as birthing, and that that is not a failure. You have got to understand that God is asking you to play with him again, to become childlike in the waters of experimenting with him, and to understand that you think you are organizers. Come on, Singapore, you think you're the organizers of the world. Come on, you do. Don't look at me blankly. You think you're the organizers of the world. And the Lord says, what if you're not? And that's a lie. What if you're the catalyzers of the world? What if that is actually your call and you've got stuck in organization and structure rather than creative catalyzation of birthing and beginning? And the Spirit of the Lord, oh, I'm poking you, I know. The Spirit of the Lord says, what if I tell you that I'm about to throw some hand grenades that are going to challenge? He says, I want you to be those who provoke. I want you to be those who innovate. And some of you just need to say yes to that. He says, I want you to be content in making mistakes on occasions. Come on, Singapore. Sometimes mistakes are the best way to learn. Sometimes, you know, as parents, you let your children fall over. You let them make some decisions that are not super brilliant because you know that we learn by falling down and figuring it out in that place. Come on, Singapore, because the kingdom of God requires you to be revolutionary and dangerous to all other powers. And that relationship at the heart instinctively makes you anti the structures of the world. Do you know that? By the indwelling spirit, you're instinctively anti the structures of the world. And the Lord says to you, keep asking questions, keep asking questions, keep asking questions, keep experimenting, keep pushing, says the Lord, and I am going to back you up. And the Lord says to you, I'm going to give you such an extreme movement, such an extreme church planting movement. And I heard the Lord say that some of your more senior leaders were going to be required to be thrown and hurled in the right way, in a kind way, in the Iqbala way of hurling people into the leadership of wild movements in other nations. And that this wild movement that was beginning here was for nations all round about you, not just for Singapore, but that God was going to start a fire. I can see rivers of fire in the spirit coming out from this house afresh, 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 afresh. And they're so broad and they're so wide and they're so consuming. And then in the house, the 13, 14, 15, 16-year-olds are going to start to lead. And the Lord says, I'm going to surprise you by putting leadership mantles on the young, the same way I put leadership mantles on my own young disciples, says the Lord. Look, I know I'm a bit crazy. I'm okay with that. But you're not crazy enough. The kingdom of God is revolutionary and dangerous to all other powers. I want you to stand to your feet right now. If you can, worship team, you can come back up, my friends. Woo-hoo, fresh fire. Fresh fire, 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 fresh fire of his spirit, fresh fire of his spirit. It's not just hovering above the auditorium, it is breaking into the room. And if you know, I don't know whether you do altar calls here, I'm sorry, I don't know your customs, but if you feel like I need to get back in to the wild, the wild, the wild. You need to run to the front, and something of your movement will be seen by God. It's not for me to lay hands on you, because I'm just a human being, but sometimes you need to move in an acknowledgement that I'm made for wild revolution. I'm made for the fire of God. I'm made to carry something that of an iconoclast, where it's okay to break some things. I'm made to be one who is so sharp by virtue of the Spirit of God. I am made to be an extreme. I am made to be one who is a provocation. But wherever I go, I carry freedom and miracles, signs and wonders. So you need to run to the front and say, I'm back into all of that. I'm back into all of that. It's not just here I am, send me, like Isaiah says in chapter 6. It is something more New Testament than that, where you're saying, God, I want to become the fullness of Pentecost. I want to become the fullness of Pentecost. I want to be so baptized with fire. And the Spirit of the Lord says, you have known what it is to be baptized with water, and you have known what it is to be baptized even with my Spirit. But the Spirit of the Lord says, Singapore, this is a day of the baptism of fire. This is the day of the baptism of fire. Consuming, consuming, burning, consuming, burning. He says, I'm burning you alive. Consuming, burning, consuming, incineration of all that you are, that you may be a burning light, a burning example, burning, consuming, burning, consuming, explode. Now you need to start to work with me and pray that. Consume me with fire. Burn me again. Burn me again, so that I am a fire, a fire. Do you remember when Jesus prayed, oh, that I've come to the earth, and how I wish it were already ablaze. Do you remember that prayer of Christ? Do you remember that? Where Jesus himself in scripture prays that you would be a wild burning one. He says, I'm birthing something of burning. I'm birthing, burn, burn, burn us alive. Burn us back into the cutting edge. Burn us back into wildness. You don't need my hands on you. You just need to be present, and you need to start to pray. You're going to have to close your eyes, and you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to do personal business with God right now. Set me on fire. Set me on fire. And some of you might need to take a moment of repentance. I got dull and I got boring. Some of you will need to say that. I'm really bored, God. Can we be that honest in church? I'm really dull and I'm really bored, and I didn't sign up for this. I signed up for the wildness of your Son who gave it all, and I come back into that place, because God did not give you life in half measures, but he gave you fullness. And he says, come back into the fullness of burning and consuming. Burn us alive, 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 burn us alive. Let the fire fall, let the fire fall, let the fire fall, let the fire fall, let the fire.
Listen to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.